Okay, very good. And we're back into the second hour of the Bolton Report. So if Ken has the piece there, it's under the heading Outstanding Edition of Crosstalk. It's 26 minutes. We'll allow the break to cut in, the two breaks, but we might get it done by the bottom of the hour. So Crosstalk, Patrick Henningsen, Ed Evans, and Langlon. Okay.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lowell. It will be very difficult to forget the year that is about to end. Indeed, during 2020, change was the norm and normality elusive. Many have reflected on what has been lost. Maybe the focus should be on what may never return. To discuss this and more, I am joined by my guest, Patrick Henningsen in Plymouth. He is the editor and founder of 21st Century Wire. And in Saint-Cher, we have John Laughlin. He is a university lecturer in history and political philosophy. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump in anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Okay, let's go to John first. You know, people will obviously think of 2020 as the year of COVID. But I tend to think of it already, and we're not at the end of the year, is the year of overreach in the end of the social contract. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think that's exactly right. In the various lockdowns that have afflicted the whole world, and which, let's not forget, were inspired by communist China, because the first lockdown was obviously in Wuhan itself, all sorts of basic rights have been summarily abrogated, including by government decree. In other words, not by a duly voted law in the respective national legislatures. This was the case in France, for example, where the original lockdown in March was not validated by the parliament until 5 days after it entered into force. So all these rights, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of religion, the freedom of movement, and informally, the freedom of expression. The first three were abolished formally, the others, the freedom of expression informally. All these vanished by government decree in spite of decades, literally 50, 60 years of discourse about human rights. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights of 1948. The European Convention of 1950, and so on. And when you talk about the social contract, therefore, Peter, you've put your finger on the key point, because I've always been a skeptic of human rights because I see that they are politically abused, and I believe that liberty and the law is guaranteed by the state. And if the state one day decides not to guarantee it or respect it, then it's a political battle and not a judicial one. Well, we've seen the truth of that, but we have also, unfortunately, seen the horrible totalitarian pretensions of our governments, very often acting, as we know from Klaus Schwab and his Great Reset, in collaboration with big business. And all of this, of course, in a context, and I come back to the thing I started with, in the context of a geopolitical shift, or rather return, unfortunately. The Trump parenthesis is about to close. A geopolitical return towards the condominium between the United States, the military power of the United States, and the economic power of China, which Trump, as I say, interrupted briefly for 4 years. But that parenthesis is unfortunately now closing. So the outlook, I think, is extremely gloomy.
You know, Patrick, the what I find quite galling is that, you know, and all of us know a bit of history here. And, you know, I mean, these were hundreds of years of struggle to attain rights that so many people take for granted. And then they're just voided and there's hardly a peep. It's extraordinary to me. And there are so many hundreds of millions of people around the world fighting desperately for the rights that so many in the West took for granted. And it left them feedingly. And there's not a whimper. I mean, this will be something historians will have to look at. Go ahead, Patrick.
Sure. If I look back at September 11th as a kind of a watershed event that set certain things into motion, these sort of trends which you've just described. I'm now looking back at that 20 years later as a dry run for what we've just witnessed in the last 12 months. So, and you know, this is by orders of magnitude much more invasive in terms of loss of rights, in terms of loss of liberty, suspension of parliamentary democracy, meeting and assembling, free assembly, free speech, freedom of worship. All of these things have been kind of taken head on by the state. And the level of invasiveness when you're talking about biosurveillance, it's much deeper. It's much more personal. The psychological operation of convincing people to be afraid of other people, convincing people that they need to wear masks, not to protect themselves, but to protect others. So, you know, I listened to the World Health Organization's final briefing of 2020, and it was very telling, the comments that they made. And one of their leading medical directors, Dr. Ryan, who's Irish, kept talking about behavioral psychology. We've made such great strides in behavioral psychology. And of course, in the UK, that's been one of the cornerstones of their whole pandemic effort has been this use of applied behavioral psychology. And so this is ruled by experts on a level, a technocracy that so many people warned about in the 20th century, so many great writers and this is the very thing that the United States Constitution actually was designed to thwart. And in that sense, I would say, you know, Donald Trump has been a historic president, maybe the most constitutional president, even though himself doesn't probably understand all the nuances of the Constitution like a scholar would. But he has deferred to the Constitution rather than the Wilsonian rule by expert kind of way of governing the administration.
Look at the experts have given us, okay, and they say they rule through merit. I mean, they're the most mediocre class of people you can imagine, okay? It's just that they look after their interests and no one else is here. But, you know, John, reflecting about what Patrick said, we're being treated like guinea pigs here. I mean, this is what it gets down to? I mean, you know, we're all, you know, Pavlov's dog here. You know, you poke this way, you poke that way, and you get the response you want. I mean, it's such a diminished way of looking at citizens' rights.
Yeah, I strongly agree with that and with what Patrick just said about the role of behavioral psychology, because although in my first remarks I mentioned, you know, formal freedoms like association and so on, I think Patrick is dead right to to draw attention to this horrible corrosion of basic social interaction, things which can't be formulated in charters of rights and can't be enforced by law, you know, the basic trust that holds society together. And indeed, that's now been blown apart by the COVID scare, where everyone is afraid of everyone else. And people have become very aggressive towards each other if they're not wearing masks and things like that. So that kind of damage really is very difficult to repair. And when you talk about guinea pigs, Peter, you know, that again is dead right, because what we see, you know, people who are like me are conservatives. We've known about the left's power in, for example, educational institutions, the universities, in the media and so on. But what we've seen, I think, with COVID is the extent now, the terrifying extent of that leftist hegemony, because it's extended way beyond the universities. And it goes, of course, very much into the heart of political leadership, politicians who typically went to those universities, which have been dominated by the left now for so long. But it also, and this, I think, is what the Great Reset shows, Great Reset being, of course, this crazy idea from Davos that the whole world needs to be restructured now. What the Great Reset shows is the extent to which leftism totally dominates the business elites, the big corporations. A lot of people talk about big pharma, but we also know about how the GAFA, you know, Google and YouTube and so on and Twitter have restricted free speech. I mentioned the informal restrictions on free speech a moment ago. And we see from Davos, from the world business elites, how their ideas are 100% leftist. leftist, you know, for good or evil. If you're a leftist watching this, you probably won't find anything, any problem with that. But that you, as an observer, you have to observe it and say and call it out for what it is. Klaus Schwab says that the dangers affecting the world are populism and polarization. He doesn't say that the danger affecting the world is Islamism or terrorism or immigration. And that's why I think you're right to talk about guinea pigs, because I think these crazies have indeed seen the chance. They've seen how quickly rights can be suspended or abolished, and they want to go for it.
The fascinating thing for me is the lack of self-reflection or honesty is that all the things that they're proposing is for us. It's not for them, okay? I mean, this leftist hegemony, what's fascinating about it is that they never feel the negative consequences of their own ideology. They're shielded from it all of the time, okay? You know, the big scandal in the U.S. where you have the governor at the French Laundry, apparently that's some really nice restaurant. Okay, but that is a perfect example of that. You know, you must be locked down while I'm having brunch with my medical experts. Extraordinary. Go ahead, jump in, Patrick.
No, I'm going to pick up on what John said about the left and what you said about the Great Reset. It's very true. You know, the Great Reset becomes a lens, and various factions and various institutions will project through that lens what they want to achieve in terms of their own political agenda. And what we've seen is an opportunism by, I would say, the radical left. I'm talking about the international communist, and this no longer a conspiracy if you look at how people try to seize on this pandemic in order to call for general strikes. We saw this in the UK.
This is like Bolsheviks. This is exactly their playbook. Exactly.
So the workers' parties are calling to shut down workers from going to work because it's not safe from COVID. And so unless the government can guarantee 100% safety, everyone who down tools don't go to work, general strike. They've been dreaming of an opportunity to have that general strike for decades because it's not palatable nor practical. And here comes this opportunity. And that really sent out a really strong message to a lot of people saying, this is how ruthless this political faction can be, and how dangerous it can be as well, and how irrational, because it is the fallacy of the greater good at the end of the day. This argument that we must do it for the greater good, this collective argument, is fallacious at its core, because it undermines the very platforms that they themselves are using as a megaphone, that the countries, the economic stability that's allowed them, built them up, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, for instance, that's billionaire funded. That's capitalism that built that platform.
Real quick to John before we go to the break here, but this whole agenda absolves you of any kind of personal responsibility. Someone else's responsibility, responsible for my thoughts and my behavior. This is the entire, our entire civilizational experience inverted here. All right, I want you to answer that question, but we're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on our reflection on 2020. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're reflecting on the year.
And it's seen as the people who are joining, you know, though they are users of the project and they are contributing to it, they're seen as, you know, being subordinate to this leader figure, right? So with Bitcoin, you have an early strong leader figure in Satoshi.
John, let me go back to you.
He disappears over time for reasons still unclear. And we have a new group that emerges. And we have a developer, Gavin Andreessen, who kind of claims the mantle and takes over this authority position, right? So I think what you see in the story, you mentioned Luke Dasher and Miyataki.
Okay.
Personal responsibility, because this whole mantra of safety first. I mean, at face value, that's all nice and fine, but that means I cannot make any decisions about my own personal behavior. And once you go there, it's not much of a leap about what your thoughts should be. Go ahead, John.
Well, listening to Patrick just now in the first half, I was reminded of the quotation from Goethe's Faust, which Bulgakov uses as the epigraph to The Master and Margarita, when Faust says, "Ich bin der Geist, der stets das Böse will und stets das Gute schafft." I am the spirit that always wants evil, but does good. In other words, all dictatorships have been, as it were, for the good of their people. And, you know, here we are again. As far as the issue of thought control and the influence of thinking goes, again, what this crisis has shown us, many crises do, of course, illuminate things that were hidden otherwise, is how crazy these people are who belong to the elites. If you look at the material of the Great Reset, which has had a lot of attention, but you know, is not a conspiracy because it's all out there in the public. There's absolutely nothing secret about it. But by drawing attention to itself, what it has shown is that these elites believe, of course, in ecologism, because the Great Reset is that. It's a massive green, so-called green agenda. In which people are supposed to, you know, obviously stop using hydrocarbons and so on. But the other element of it, and this is where it really is crazy, although I think the climate stuff is crazy enough, where it really is crazy is in the whole transhumanism, because the World Economic Forum has bought heavily into transhumanism, by which I mean not just the implantation of prostheses of new legs or arms or hands or whatever, but also, according to them, and this is where it really is crazy, the implantation of microchips, which they say will, as it were, replicate or perhaps even influence people's emotions and thoughts. I mean, this really is crazy stuff. Yet it is being taken seriously. And it is, as Patrick said, it is billionaire funded. There are people who believe in this nonsense and who are prepared to put money on the table to finance it. So, you know, as I say, it's lifted the veil on things which perhaps we otherwise would not have noticed. And ultimately, I suppose it's a symptom, unfortunately, of the fact that our societies have been put to sleep. They have been, you know, reassured for too long now. The state will take care of this. The state will take care of that. And hey, guess what? When the state decides not to do that anymore, but to do something different, we've all disarmed, so we need to rearm in order to prevent it from happening again and to stop it from happening and continuing now.
You know, Patrick, what this gets down to, I mean, something we witnessed in the 21st century is the ideal of creating the new man. And we know how that's ended. OK, we know how that ended. And it's extraordinary. They want another crack at it here. And the way they're doing it following from what you've both said so far on this program here is that now we have this paradigm of crisis to crisis. And this is the legitimizing pattern, the paradigm that they're using that first of all, with COVID, the goalpost is going to be forever moved out. OK, and everything else will be packed into it because safety is first. OK, and of course, they determine what is safe, though that can change from day to day. From scientist to scientist. And on top of it all, gentlemen, they've compromised the whole idea of science. I mean, a year ago, people would think we'd be crazy talking about, you know, the legitimacy of science. And they've crashed that as well. Patrick.
No, definitely the pseudoscience is definitely in the ascendancy right now. The whole basis of the global pandemic narrative, you know, not to say there are not serious seasonal respiratory viruses in circulation every year. I'll put that caveat in. But the whole basis is based on what's really a dubious testing regime of PCR testing, completely unstandardized in terms of its cycle thresholds and things like this. This is producing mountains of junk data, which policy is being determined by. And also the whole idea of the asymptomatic spreader, that was never a scientific idea. That was never proven. It was just something that was floated out as a fear at the time early last spring. And now a number of peer-reviewed studies have come back that have basically destroyed the idea of the asymptomatic spreader. So that really undermines.
Okay, we go to this break, and we pick up with that in a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
From the break. Okay, we'll go back to crosstalk and we finish out the section if we can.
Undermines lockdowns, it undermines social distancing, it undermines masks. All of these mitigation policies all fall to the wayside if you're looking at the real science, which is coming out right now. But what we've seen, they haven't revised the policy. So in other words, the ship leaves the port, things, the weather changes, the ship continues to go. They don't change course. And so this is typical of a technocracy. This is typical of a scientific dictatorship. They talk about being led by the science, but in fact, they're not being led by the science. And I'm going to say this is very, very similar to another computer modeled driven pseudoscience. And this is a controversial thing to say, but computer models got us into this pandemic mess. And climate computer models have done the same thing in terms of formulating climate change policy. Computer models, predictive models, are not scientific. They cannot be replicated. They're programmed. Assumptions are put in. So now we're, the technocrats are really hanging all of these policies onto computers, onto AI, onto the you know, blinding you with science, as Thomas Dolby said so famously in the 1980s, so prophetically. That's where we're at right now. And, you know, there needs to be a pushback against this, because as you can see, the science can be wrong. The technocrats can be very wrong. History is replete with examples of this. We now have the biggest example of all time right now, of how badly they could get it wrong and not change course. And, you know, it's a kamikaze ride in terms of government policy right now. They have trashed their economies for what? And so then the Great Reset crowd, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, they're very happy with the progress of this so far. It's perfect. They've legitimized their thesis, if you will, that the pandemic has exposed this great fault in our system. We need a great reset to fix it. So it's just classic problem, reaction, solution, but it's completely contrived.
You know, John, the you know, there's very little reflection in the media because the media is just completely on board with all of this here. I mean, that's one of the really huge casualties. You know, we take the Russiagate hoax and then we take this and media, it wrapped itself up in glory to an unbelievable extent here. But the other victims are working people and families, which, of course, are the lowest on the totem pole when it comes to these elites making decisions because, you know, working people, they're expendable. We've seen that. OK. I mean, you know, if you look at the omnibus bill that was just passed by Congress, I mean, there's plenty of money for, I guess, transgender studies in Pakistan. And there's $600 for an American citizen. OK, there's plenty of money for their agenda all over the world in a $5,000 page bill that I cannot I have a hard time believing anyone has read it. OK, it is just this. Going to the feeding trough, and they're bankrupting the country, taking taxpayer money for their global agenda of this great reset.
Well, I think that's where it gets really sinister, because if you look, for example, at the salaries that are offered now in Silicon Valley, a couple of years ago, the average, I think actually only 1 year ago, the average salary offered in Silicon Valley, so for working in San Francisco, was something like $130,000 a year. That was the average proposed salary for working in Californian high tech. The average proposed salary now is more like $70,000. So we can already see that high tech is saying, and perhaps not just high tech, are saying, if you don't need to live in San Francisco anymore, but you can do your work by Zoom from home in your apartment, we're not going to pay you the rates that you needed to live in the big cities. So, hey, presto, you have a 50% pay cut. And that's where, by the way, the whole transhumanism of the Great Reset is again very sinister, because they imagine these crazies that robots will become intelligent, artificial intelligence, and people, ordinary people, will eventually be replaced. And they're relatively happy with that because obviously they think the robots are going to be cheaper. So there is a very nasty
side. The robots don't pay taxes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, nor do big companies.
Yeah, nor do
but what Patrick's about the science is very, very important, because it reminds me of a line in Dostoevsky's The Devils, where he says that there is no greater a curse that can afflict the world, no worse than famine, worse than dictatorship, than pseudoscience, than half science. Dostoevsky made this point in The Devils. And, you know, let's not forget, you talked about dictatorships just a minute ago, Peter, and the desire to create the new man. Marxism was a science. It was an economic science. Marx considered himself to be a scientist, like Darwin. He did not regard himself as a policymaker. He believed he had discovered laws of economics that would liberate man and so on. Racialism, Nazi racialism, was a science. People believed that, you know, by measuring earlobes and the shapes of skulls and so on, that they could purify the race and improve it and so on. So these were sciences. And
okay, we go to the bottom of the outbreak and then we finish up after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Back in from the bottom of the hour break, and we just go back to just a few more minutes to finish up with Peter Lavelle and Patrick Ennison, etc. Okay.
Patrick, I'm very glad you made the link, Patrick, between climate fear and COVID fear, because yes, these things are based on fear. And you mentioned 9/11 at the beginning of the program. That too was the conjugation of fear, crisis, and of course then massive increase in state power in order to protect us all. In the case of 9/11, it was it was when the military state and of course the surveillance state really took off, as Edward Snowden told us. With the climate thing, it's again fear of the climate, which requires, again, as you said, Peter, just now, you know, there are gigantic subsidies for all these windmills. These windmills, the electronic generating windmills wouldn't exist without state subsidy. And of course, ditto now with COVID, which, apart from destroying our liberties, as we all know, is based on absolutely stupendous amounts of money creation. Money creation, which will inevitably reduce the purchasing power of, guess who, ordinary working families. But guess what? The FTSE index is going to go above 10,000. Same with the Wall Street index. all the rest of it.
We've run out of time. Fascinating discussion. And I suppose we'll be this time next year discussing whatever happened to democracy. It just left us. Okay. I want to thank my guests in the UK and in France. And I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, Crosstalk rules, and Happy New Year.
Okay. Very good. Lots of program on Russia Today, RT. It's been running for years. This is one of the best programs. Max Kaiser's program on finance is outstanding always. And Stacey Herbert, his wife, is actually a better journalist than he is. But anyway, Peter Lavelle puts in a good program usually on the whole thing. Well, that was a very well put together piece, and they didn't plan it, about how COVID has now morphed into a tyrannical form of government. And it's going to switch to the green agenda in a flash, like overnight. If COVID infection dies out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, well, they try and keep it going, of course, it'll be the green agenda. Oh, you must do this to the agenda. You must not burn fuel, wood-burning fuel, et cetera, et cetera, and a thousand other things, like a microcosm of what's going on in California. One of the reasons I haven't read out individual stories in California, I know I do a lot of audio stuff now on the program, but if I come across a very well put piece, well, I'll play it better than me reading out long pieces. But some of that's a long piece, 26 minutes. But ideally to get a hold of 5, 6, 7 minute pieces, etc. But the key writers, Lance D. Johnson, Ethan Huff, Adams, etc., are outstanding. And I just go back to a thing earlier on, and I should actually give out the phone number again. If you've anything to add to this, we've any other audios are played today, they'll be short, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, etc. The phone number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. But, yeah, there's a lot hinging on Wednesday the 6th. It's been built up to a big event, and he's going to give out devastating information. Well, we'll see. But he better be prepared to invoke the Insurrection Act and the executive order of October 2018. He has no option. He's on the ropes from criminals, absolute criminals. And I see Sidney Powell saying that she's not allowed to even speak. She's been blocked from speaking to Trump by people, members of his own staff. He is surrounded. Whoa. I mean, et cetera. And one alternative media thing is saying what's the football match where he throws in the ball? The one last year was Pence throwing in the ball or whatever, the famous football event. I don't understand American football. Anyway, but where did Pence go to sit for the rest of the game? Up beside George Bush Jr., right? And that's not the first time. Pence and Bush have been very close over the years. And it's now coming out. So most people, including Mike Abbott, expect Pence to renege on on Trump on Wednesday. And it's well worth going and listening to the situation update of December 31st, he's run right through Christmas because he hasn't taken a break. Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. He's been running since the beginning of December. These situation updates are outstanding, but the last three, 29th, 30th, well, 31st and 1st and 2nd today's are worth listening to. And you don't have to listen to the hour and 10 minutes audio. It's two pages of bullet points will give you what's in it, which is very well covered. Somebody's got through to Adams. As good as he is, he is long-winded. Good God, he's long-winded. He's very genuine, but he's very long-winded. But the bullet point analysis of what he's doing on the situation updates are very valuable, and they're a collector's piece. They really are. And he's laying out absolute proof of what he says and backing it up with facts. And it's there for anyone to see how reliable a source he is. And he updated a few facts today as the situation is evolving. As he says himself, if he makes a mistake, he will withdraw it. And he's done that genuinely and honestly, and over the years, I've known that. I've been doing with 5 or 6 years monitoring his stuff now. But the Georgia rerun, what a shocking, disgusting man. Even the rerun, who's doing today? the smart devices they have in these buildings, any one of the smart devices with Wi-Fi can click in. They can get into the Dominion voting system through any of the smart devices. Right? And somebody went there and tested that, and they found that it works. I mean, it is rancid. The Chinese developed the situation. Excuse me. I've got a cough button, that's what's after going 40. Okay. But the Chinese helped develop Dominion voting systems, manufactured in Canada and used in Venezuela, and the big hit, the 2020 presidential election. Wow. What an attack. But all the evidence in the alternative media is laid out. But again, the average person who might have a good intent out there is totally, they know there was now, I think 80, 90% of people know there was shocking swindling of the vote, but they don't know the other details about how criminal the Congress and the Senate is. And Mitch McConnell and Pence are now absolute traitors beyond words. But they can be absolutely proven. If Pence does not do what he should do on Wednesday, I think there'll be lots of militia members around Washington. And he's cancelled a trip to Israel. Well, was he doing a trip to Israel in the new year before the 20th? I mean, what was that about? Highly, highly question mark stuff as well. You, but go to the situation updates on Mike Adams' site and his interview with Jeffrey Prather, who is on HRR. Is the overlap, Natural News, Brighteon, and HRR within them. The Natural News site, his specific interviews he does, but they're up usually on most places. Right, I said I'd move on from COVID. I'm being dragged back into it. Anyone who doesn't wear a mask, they have blood on their hands, right? Intensive care doctor blames badly behaved public for COVID hospitals crisis. There's no COVID hospital crisis. After UK suffered deadliest day since April, with 981 deaths. Deaths with the infection, but not the outbreak, right? Ooh. And a young woman who went around the wards of hospitals in Gloucestershire, the police went to her house and arrested her for telling the truth as well. We're now living in a total police state. And as I said, Professor Hugh Montgomery is angry and said, anyone who doesn't wear a mask, they have blood on their hands. UK hospitals are running low on staff, beds, oxygen, and amid intensifying crisis caused by mutant COVID strain. Essex declares emergency as patient numbers receiving COVID treatment higher than peak first wave. Well, this is the mutation, and the winter temperature does this, right? So they're chasing their tail again. Hospitals have made requests to move ICU patients from London to Yorkshire. Whoa, that's some trip in an ambulance for 200 miles. Because they're full. Sorry. One or two hospitals are full. They've been scaling down the number of beds in the health service in Britain for years. We had this disgusting statistic 5 years ago. There was more managers than there were beds in the NHS in Britain. Right? And that other... very brave nurse who gave a public address in Truro, I think it was in Cornwall there a few weeks ago, saying that there was 5 COVID cases in hospital series in Cornwall out of 550,000 people, and there was a complete lockdown over 5 people. Right? Whoa, shocking. But this schmuck, I'll come to a thing later on where the Daily Mail put out a thing with 10 mega photographs, 10 people know why they're taking the vaccine, all the reasons, and it's called Daily Mail Reporters. No reporter put their name to it. A piece of government propaganda in the Daily Mail. I'm appalled. I really am. But anyway, this article, Professor Hugh Montgomery, the public are to blame for the record number of COVID cases in Britain and have blood on their hands if they don't wear masks as patients wait 24 hours for hospital beds to stop coronavirus spreading like wildfire through wards, a top doctor claimed. I don't know where he's going. Professor Hugh Montgomery, a consultant at University College Hospital in London, said he is angry with people for behaving badly and failing to follow the rules as infections hit 50,000 plus again and deaths approached 1,000 yesterday. It's the winter spike. That's usual. What happens? He said, we can't blame the government. We can't blame the tier system. This is people behaving badly. I'm just very angry about this. If we're wearing masks, washing hands, the virus would not be as it is. He told Red Times. Why did he say to people wear gloves? Not those. Sorry, I'm falling. Medical gloves, but good quality gloves that are lined inside and can be washed. But again, that was never part of the plan. And they said they are spreading this virus people than the virus that other people will spend and will spread, and its people will die. They know they've killed people. They know they've killed people. Rubbish. But they have. There was a misprint here. He said they won't know they've killed people, but they have. Okay. Professor Montgomery, incendiary claims, and they are truly incendiary claims, have angered other medics, with Dr. Ellie Conlon tweeting, "Well, I couldn't disagree more. Since when has the public health campaign ever been based on blaming the public? While other critics saying throwing blame around just makes people feel angry and disheartened and inevitably distracts everyone from more important issues." Doctors and nurses at the Royal London Hospital in Whitechapel have begged bosses to declare an emergency, and they've opened a new ward and moved adults into a paediatric ward after 200 new COVID patients were admitted this week. Essex has already declared a major incident, and that the number of coronavirus cases threatens to overwhelm its six hospitals and ambulances queued outside A&E units over the county due to lack of beds and staff. Well, that was going on way before COVID came on in some parts of the country that are densely populated, and the bad distribution of hospitals in Britain. That was going on several winters in the last couple of years. So that's nothing new. UK hospitals are running low on workers, ward spaces, etc. Well, in one day that Katie Hopkins, she's a bit eccentric, Katie Hopkins, individual blogger, one statistic at each other. One day there, towards around Christmas, 72,000 workers did not show up in the NHS. Admittedly, there's over a million working for the NHS. But part of the problem about the Nightingale hospitals, they're short of staff to work them. And they're dismantling one and resurrecting another. But all theatrics, all a load of theatrics. Like that press conference way back, maybe around April, where the government were announcing the first major lockdown. They had the head of the army there in desert camouflage. like it was war, like absolute war. I mean, that's a really ignorant behavior for the government to go on with. But as Anna Breeze, and I have one of her pieces here, it's a short piece, we might pay it later on, but says she's an ex-BBC journalist who just left in disgust like so many, like Alex Belfield. But Alex will have to stop swearing if we're to use his stuff on the programme. The BBC is just rancid, absolutely rancid, rancid, rancid. And they said, high cycle PCR tests do not properly diagnose COVID-19 and were weaponized to terrorize nations and deprive of people of personal liberties. And who we got here? Lance D. Johnson, very good scientific writer and researcher. Excellent. If you suddenly come down with symptoms of severe acute respiratory syndrome, you will not want, nor will you need, a COVID-19 test to prove it. The infection will be prevalent, and you'll naturally want to stay in bed and recuperate or get treatment of it kind. That's when you need hydroxychloroquine and the like of that zinc. Right? You should have been taking zinc and vitamin C all along. But common sense is no longer a virtue. Fear, panic, and anticipation of sickness has become just as infectious, just as dangerous as the flipping over the page here, disease itself, driving people to line up and take invasive DNA swabs and navel probes to see if they have the virus. Well, only 36 out of 15,000 truck drivers tested positive after a mega crisis. The European drivers heading home for Christmas. These tests are not intended to diagnose COVID-19 and they routinely give off false positives, but they continue to be measured and to justify lockdowns and the suppression of civil liberties. PCR tests being fraudulently and unlawfully used to suspend civil liberties and sow discord. Yes, that's what basically that Peter Lavelle's program was outlining there. And the majority of these rules are not put through Parliament. I mean, they're not the law. They're recommendations, etc. But they voted Brexit through the Parliament the other day, the biggest event in political history in 100 years, possibly. And what happened? The BBC didn't quote it. The BBC didn't cover it. Mentioned it and buried it on their website. Okay. Do I hear the music? I think I do. Okay, we go to this break. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Okay, now we're coming back in from the break. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting, and we are inevitably trawling through the Trump situation, the election situation, and COVID, and the tyrannical, multi-layered tyranny coming out of the COVID rules, etc., which are going to morph into the green agenda very soon. Like, to remind people, for the last year, 18 months, the central banks have been saying that no bank lending is going to be allowed unless it is environmentally friendly and green issues, right? I went to America in 93 with the best green issue they could possibly do in agriculture, which was cleaning up animal waste and using it 100% as fertilizer. And they weren't interested. And I talking to the USDA and Fort Collins University and all the rest of them are very interested, but they're just an intelligence gathering operation. They couldn't be bothered to rear end cleaning up pollution. And as I said before, the agricultural show in Greeley near Fort Collins, they were saying at the side conferences you get at these shows, you can pollute up to this level and pollute up to that level. I mean, environmental friendly, forget it. The multinational corporations like Cargill, the rest of them, and John Deere, and American Century, there are a bunch of them in there in Ukraine, plundering Ukraine, and the GMO industry, all working together to cannibalize for farming and agriculture and put, like they did in Clark County, there isn't really agriculture in Clark County, Arizona, but the Bundys were put off their land with other people just so as that the BLM could own the land and do what they like. But there's been a real policy, which I don't think Trump has done anything about, over marginalizing and giving farming over to the multinationals. And something Trump does not understand is the destructive power of monopolies. They have been given the biggest boost in the world, like COVID. Amazon and these internet suppliers, these crushing monopolies. I think it's 68% of all merchandise on the internet is transacted through Amazon or their agents, etc., right? And that COVID has pushed business their way. And the money and billions and billions and billions of dollars go giving to big pharma out of these vaccinations with immunity from prosecution, that's printing money. That's about as near as it comes to printing money. There's no doubt about it. Printing money with big pharma. I know I worked in one of them. And I saw what they were doing with vitamin C. And that appalling thing. If they could get that on prescription, they would. That gives them total control. And they have the doctors buy the short and curlies, and the doctors don't mind. It is outstanding that some doctors have spoken up about hydroxychloroquine. But one great thing is the lies put out by Big Pharma and the scientists in the Lancet and the New England Journal, they have been disgraced forever. They are absolutely trash publications now. They admitted they published wrong data deliberately and that they were backhanded with doing it. I mean, they're beyond belief. But again, multi-layered criminal syndicates, well. But this is do or die, not just Trump. And I have nothing much but contempt for his incompetence. The 6th of January on this entire debacle, Trump has to be re-elected. And he only has the votes anyway. He's won. He has won. But if criminality knocks him out of it, it's all over for America. Absolutely all over. And it's the end. And as I say, I don't know, he can activate the militias as well as the National Guard as well. But I suspect there will be a skirmish within the military, considering what Obama fired 250 generals who weren't singing to his hymn sheet, etc. But it's really serious. People going to Washington, that's just a morale booster scenario. But oh, it is important in its own way. But considering the fact that I forgot some of his pieces today. I come to a John Whitehead piece later on in the third hour. But Michael Schneider, who is saying the statistic 2 years ago was 52% of Americans can't come up with $500 for a household emergency. Well, it's now 72%, according to Michael Schneider. It's gone up 20% because of COVID, right? And this appalling $600, that is contemptible. Like Trump is fair enough, $2,000 each, $4,000. That's the first one. Have to be many. But in Britain, at least people are getting the furlough money is 80%, and they've now extended it to April. And that's Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson doing that. But Rishi Sunak, the next Prime Minister of Britain, by the way. I don't believe Johnson will be here in a year's time, considering he was looking at 10 years in power a year ago. Okay, we go to this break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.